Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I just want to remind you to take the poll that is up on my website. It's a real simple multiple choice question. I ask you, who had a greater influence on U.S. history? Was it Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez? Cast your vote up on my website, brainstormingonline.com, and I will announce the overall results of the poll on Thursday's show. That's my website, brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the past, the present, and the future. Each of my guests will discuss a topic that pertains to the past or the present or the future. My first guest is an internationally recognized sociologist and future trends expert. He'll help us peer into the future to glimpse the future of media. My second guest is a consultant and part-time CEO of a software development company. He'll explain how today's great leaders convert people into partners from his latest book titled Radical Trust. My third guest is the niece of Downton Abbey creator Julian Fellowes. She will discuss the series and the times 100 years ago from her book, The World of Downton Abbey. And if you have questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Michael Zay is the author of several books, Ageless Nation, Seizing the Future, The Dawn of Macro Industry Era, and The Mentor Connection. He consults in the areas of formal mentor programs, future trends, technology development, career issues, and leadership development for Fortune 500 companies and for government. Dr. Zay's controversial and original views on social and techno trends have appeared in a variety of print and electronic media. He's a contributor to KNX AM, the Los Angeles affiliate of CBS, and is also on the National Future Trends Analyst at TheExaminer.com. Dr. Zay serves as the Executive Director of the Expansionary Institute. He's a professor at Montclair State University. He got his BA in Sociology from Hunter College in New York, his PhD in Sociology from Rutgers University. Joining us from back east, hi Dr. Zay, how are you today?
And how are you today?
Well, terrific. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Bill of the Brain. And let's just dive right into it, because the media is something that appears to be changing dramatically, and especially over the last 5 years. There's a myriad of media choices available today, and I'd like to examine some of them in turn, starting with everybody's perennial favorite, television. Is TV dead? I mean, there are new models that just show you the new models of television are really nothing more than giant monitors for internet content. Is TV as we know it dead?
Well, that's a good question. I think if we're hoping that television will retain its kind of monopolistic power that it had, say, in the 1950s, we're not going to see that, not overall. I mean, it's really amazing when you think that back in the 1950s, a program like I Love Lucy could reach 13 million households. It may not sound like a lot, but there are only about 20 million people with households with TV. I mean, basically, if you watch television, you were watching I Love Lucy. When advertisers began to realize this, I mean, money started to pour into television. Those days are over. I mean, and we can see the kind of panic that has set in amongst advertisers, because what do advertisers really like about the media? They want to be able to reach people,
right?
And they want to reach as many eyeballs as they can at one particular time. This really explains why you see the kind of money that's being devoted and invested in the NFL. The one place we can get that magic group, that male 18 to 34, to sit down for 3.5 hours and to see in a car ad and beer ads and the kind of products that they want to sell to people, especially in this economy, it becomes really important that your advertising dollar reach people. And television is still the way to do it, but as you know, I mean, they're sharing time. It's hard to say what television is now. I mean, is television the big TV that sits in my house? Is it this handheld that is bringing in not just network television, but is bringing in all the other channels? And it's bringing in channels that are being created by who knows who. Is it YouTube? And that's the question. So advertisers who have still have limited budgets have to find a way to reach those people. It's not television. We still need mass media. Politicians still need mass media. So to that extent, they will find a way to get to 80 million people at one time when they have to. They're just not going to be able to do it on a regular basis.
My guest is Dr. Michael Zay. We're talking about the future of media, and let's talk about politics, because 2012 is a political year. You said that politicians need mass media. I think politicians want mass media, but if you take a look at what happened in New Hampshire and Ohio so far with the competitive ads that were running on there, the ads didn't seem to really influence anybody's decision. Now, South Carolina comes up tomorrow with the primary down there. We'll see what influence, if any, the television ads that were being run in South Carolina have on the overall result. But the reality is that TV ads themselves are getting tuned out because of things like DVRs being able to time shift and zip through the commercials so that you don't have to see them. Advertisers, of course, are aware of this. And how are they adjusting in order to deliver their message better to the target audience that they want to reach?
Well, in a way, the internet taketh away, but it also giveth. The fact that one would go to a Google site, say Google News, which is kind of a centralized site that can deliver maybe 2-3 million viewers at a time, and I call them viewers, if you can add up on the masthead, even if someone doesn't click it, they see the name. And that's what's really important. They want you to know, they want you thinking about Toyota. They want you thinking about Honda or Ford. So it's not a question necessarily whether you go in and get that information. So they can reach you that way. I just wanted to go back to the political issue.
Sure. Now,
there's a real argument. I've been thinking about this over the last week because the Gingrich people claimed that they were based that it was television that upended his campaign. He felt that the negative ads that were being promoted by super PACs, another 21st century invention, did influence people because they were bombarded. And what they do, that's a great idea, great example of saturation advertising. If you're in Iowa, you cannot put on a or New Hampshire, now South Carolina, you can't put on the TV, regardless of the station, that if it's commercial, it will have commercials, and those commercials will be either pro or anti a particular candidate. So they felt that the mass media did impact them. Expect to see advertising going into the World Series. You know, anyone who will, as we get closer to elections, you will see advertising, you'll see position advertising. So television is still a factor. The problem is, for advertisers, now you have people moving into different areas. And quite frankly, I don't think they really know how many people are watching. They don't know. They know how many people are watching. They've measured that very carefully at the initial output. But then you have Hulu. Then you have all of these secondary markets that make it more difficult. Plus, you don't know if people are sharing devices with each other. I mean, how many people are actually sitting around somebody's handheld device? So the question is for them is get into as many areas as you can afford to try to reach individuals. But we're not exactly sure how, at this point, what kind of information people are ingesting. People who are involved in the media, for instance, think that everyone else knows everything about the news. The reality is, based on who you speak to and based on who they speak to on Facebook, they may be missing out on major news stories. They may not know who the candidates are. They may not even plan on voting in the election. They know there's an election. They're not exactly sure if this is a presidential year. I know this mystifies many of us who are media savvy and are kind of political junkies, but the reality is that increasingly Facebook is now determining what will become one's media audience and also determines the source of one's information.
Hmm.
So it's becoming a real challenge to anyone, be it a politician, be it a product, be it a company, to reach the people they want.
Wow, it certainly is. My guest is Dr. Michael Zay. We're talking about the future of media. Television right now is our topic. Let's change gears for just a little bit, talk about the actual televisions themselves. This whole concept that was being passed around, not only at this year's Consumer Electronics Show, but in past years as well, of 3D television. Is 3D television here to stay, or is this just a flash in the pan, a solution looking for a problem to solve?
3D television, I've debated this with people. 3D seemed to be making a comeback in about a year or two ago. We had a very, we've had some Avatar and a few of the very popular movies utilize the technology. But I don't see kind of the halo effect of that movie. They thought, they put an awful lot of money into this, and they've been investing in, and it's become actually cheaper to produce 3D. And they're bringing out, I believe, Beauty and the Beast, one of the Disney films, again, in 3D, because now you can take 2D and you can, through the magic of technology, bring it out in a modified version, I think, of a three-dimensional. However, the 3D TVs, especially in, first of all, people aren't, the actual plans that people have for buying televisions themselves show kind of a lack of dampened enthusiasm at this point. People are actually not thinking about investing again in another generation of TV. You know, we're asking the consumers to do an awful lot. We've asked them to buy first digital televisions, then plasma TVs, and now we have LED, and they're going to come up with another form of television 3D. I mean, we're expecting people to make incredible investments of thousands of dollars in the next best thing, and we better be able to deliver. And for the most part, it doesn't seem like people need 3D. They like high definition, but do they actually need it? And that's the question: is it really something that they will feel that if they don't have 3D, they're not really enjoying the program, then they'll buy 3D. But they haven't gotten to that point, and the movies haven't really sold it to them at that level.
No, they haven't. And my guest is Dr. Michael Zay. And Dr. Zay, movie revenues for 3D movies after Avatar have steadily declined for the 3D version of every movie. So I'm not sure that movies is going to be the answer, but let me challenge you and say this. Will sports be the resurrection of 3D television? Will sports junkies want to see their games in 3D now that ESPN has a 3D station? Will that drive the consumer to buy the set?
That is an interesting question. Does it become the sine qua non? The problem is, and I think, is that they've made 2D so very high def. The high definition television and the graphics of television have made sports so interesting. So now they can make it look like your video game. It almost feels like 3D when I was just watching the game yesterday on a large 70-inch home television.
Wow.
And you can see the way that they swoop down on the players, and the way they move, and the way they seem to move. It almost has a 3D feel. So the question is really what we call technically 3D so much value added onto the kinds of screens they have? The other question is, and it really becomes an issue, if you're asking people to wear something other than their eyes or their glasses to watch something, and I know that they will probably come to the point where you won't need those glasses, but right now it seems that you're going to need some sort of an enhancement on your body in order to watch 3D, which kind of limits the freedom people have, because a lot of people watch TV while they're doing their handhelds and they're involved in other activities. It means they're going to have to start shifting themselves physically, and it's one thing to do this in a theater when you're basically there to see the movie. But television watching, as you know, is sort of a segmented experience in and of itself. People move, they walk around, they leave their chair, their couch eventually, just a few times in a game, to get up and do whatever. And because of that, the encumbrance of wearing some sort of an object becomes an issue. I think that in the future, when they finally get to the point of perfecting this, that virtual reality will be the ultimate television and movie experience. You will literally almost feel like you're there. I mean, it will be literally not, it will be multidimensional, not just three-dimensional. But again, at this point, to experience that, and I have experienced virtual reality, basically as you turn your head, the landscape turns with you, and you literally are in that experience. The question is, do people need and want that level of reality? And there have been predictions made, were being made 20 years ago, that virtual reality was going to monopolize, become the new sine qua non of the media experience, and it has not happened as of yet. In fact, a lot of people don't know what it is.
Well, that's true, unless they're a gamer. My guest is Dr. Michael Zay. And Dr. Zay, gamers are more and more involved in these virtual realities. And as they mature and they get into the age where they're starting to buy consumer products, will these enhanced, what I like to call enhanced realities, become the norm? Is that what we're going to see? Is that the next direction for media, is augmenting your real world by some enhanced universe?
Yes, it could, except here's the proviso. The experience that gamers have is an interactive one. Now, you can have interactive to an extent in mass media, but mass media, by definition, is a message that is being delivered to the masses. They don't vary it that often. You can make variations. You can possibly change the scene. You can vote and have that kind of on a particular character or express your opinion. You can chat with people, and to that extent, it's interactive. But the message has been pretty finely crafted. In fact, the people who create that message, being it an advertiser or the producer of a film, really don't want that much of a modification. So they don't want you walking into the scene and becoming part of it necessarily. That's if it becomes a game. Now, they may add games to that experience that you can experience on your own, aside from the mass media. But again, mass media is what it is. And it's just what it says it is. It's a message that is delivered to people. So you can be more engrossed in it, but to have that level of that kind of that virtual reality interactivity works very well in the gaming universe. But at no point during the upcoming Super Bowl will they ask you to get on the field in your virtual self and have your avatar throw a pass. It's just not going to happen. And there is going to still be that division between the message deliverer and the receiver.
Well, that's a very good point. My guest has been Dr. Michael Zay. We've been discussing the future of media. Dr. Zay, if people are intrigued by what you have to say and they want to learn more about you, learn more about what you do, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
The easiest way, my last name is Zay, Z-E-Y, and I'm Zay.com. That's right. You start there and you've got everything. And basically, you'll get my Twitter sites. The Expansionary Times, which is a publication I publish. My articles are there, lead-ins to my books. We have the YouTube videos. I've done speeches. You can catch those, or TV shows I've done. It's all there. It just all starts with Zey.com.
That's Zey.com. Great. Now, Dr. Zay, thank you so much for being my special guest here
Thanks
on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bye now.
Bye now.